Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry Service in Northfield Falls, Vermont.
Praise God.
Amen. I will say it's nice to be back in Vermont in a way, but for those of you who don't know, I was out in Texas and I was out in Arizona, and you know, it gets kind of tiring living in a suitcase. In my younger days, I kind of enjoyed it. The older I get, I find it less enjoyable. So I'm thankful to be back, but I wish I was somewhere else. Anyway, I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I know one thing that I find, and it's something that, you know, it's a constant battle for me, and I'm sure for others, is that I'm always struggling with the flesh, okay? And it seems to be a theme. I mean, it gets tiring. It gets a war, it's warring on me. And I know that part of the thing about traveling is, you know, you have your little routines when you're at home and, you know, you get up and you pray and you read and, you know, you go through this. And then when you're traveling, well, things just kind of get out of sync sometimes. And I find that during that, the trip gets longer and I get more out of sync. It's harder to fight that battle I need to fight. Now, that's my fault. You know, that's my fault for not being able to keep that what I need to do. But anyway, I'd like to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now I know that where I look at this, and I know this is something that I deal with here. Part of the struggle that I have, you know, is I look at myself, you know, okay, you know, sometimes I look good in my own. Steve's giving me thumbs down. Yeah. Sometimes I look at myself, you know, and I just see, oh man, whoo, I'm something. Okay. I will say that that's becoming, fortunately, less and less in my life. But, you know, I know that part of the problem I run into, and this is a thing that the Lord's been teaching me, is when I see myself, I see just the awfulness of my flesh, okay? And the awfulness of this flesh, it paralyzes me, okay? Because I think to myself, which is true, you know, how could God use me? But the thing I have to remember is that my strength is in Him. My hope is in Him. And I know that when I fall out of my routine, I get overtaken by just the awfulness of who I am. And I have to remember that my faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in what He has done for me and what I can do through Him. And I know that one of the things that I struggle with too when I'm away or when I'm at these sort of things is, you know, I pretty much have come to the conclusion I'm pretty base, okay? And I'm not talking about like bass as in a bass drum or a bass guitar. I'm talking about bass as in, I don't know the way to describe it, but, you know, just awful, Okay. But I also recognize when you look at Paul, he talks about being base. You know, it's not about who I am. And I know the thing that the Lord has been showing me is that if people can see the grace of God on me and working through me, in spite of my baseness, in spite of everything that I am, then praise God, those people can see and have the same hope for themselves. Now, I go to these conferences, and I could tell you that I'm not received welcome, received openly for the most part. And, you know, that wars on me. You know, that wars on me because, you know, you'd like to go out and people, you know, receive you and be friends with you. And but it's not the case. It's not the case. But I know that even in that case, there are those who I go see who I have the hope of preaching the gospel to. Now, I will say that in my baseness, and part, I think that's part of the rejection, among other things, you know, there is that opportunity. There is that opportunity to preach the gospel. And I know it opened up to some, and, you know, there were some that opened up. I won't say it was necessarily received, but my hope is that the seeds were planted out there. But going back, I know that where I struggle with this whole thing is that, you know, the flesh in myself is base and ugly. But when I look at Christ, I see that he has overcome that. And that if my hope and my faith is in him, that this struggle that I have between me and the flesh will come less and less. Now, I know others have that too. You know I'm not alone in that. But I know that Jesus Christ has overcome it. And if, when I get my eyes fully on him, I know that struggle is going to come to an end. And one thing I'll still recognize is that when that struggle with dealing with this flesh is over, I'm still going to be base. I'm still going to be who I am. But you know what? If people can see Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that he's given me, then they may have that hope to see that he can work through them. And I know that that's a struggle because when I deal with a lot of these people who are my peers out there, you know, they're don't appear to have struggles. You know, they're, things are well and things are going fine for them and they're elevated and they're glorified. And, you know, part of me, of course, being back to the flesh is I'm jealous and I'm envious and I'm, you know, struggle with all these things, but I realize that that can't happen until I can realize, put Jesus Christ fully first in my life. And even then, it's not going to be to that glorification of the flesh. It's going to be to the glorification of him. So, anyway, here's Steve.
I want to turn to Luke. I believe it's chapter 15, but it might be 14, so let me find it. Yeah, it's 15, but we'll maybe go back a couple verses in 14. It's the story of the so-called prodigal son we've heard. And I'll take it from a slightly different angle than a lot of times we may have heard it. But before we go there, verse chapter 14, verse 33, I just want to hit on it. It says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, Paul read a scripture and we had read it. It was a theme, frankly, in a revival we did here in Northfield some years ago. It was, "Without me, you can do nothing," referring to Christ. And when you realize that without me, you can do nothing, then it becomes a lot easier to forsake everything, right? Because what do you have to offer, right? Nothing. But he then goes down here, and I want to take a look at this because a part of it, of that forsaking everything, is we also have to forsake our own righteousness. And that one can be hard, forsaking your own righteousness. And when we read this story of the prodigal son, you're going to see part of the problem is the son that was not the prodigal. He struggled a little bit with that one. And we're all saved by grace, right? Not one of us are saved by our works, lest we boast. We're all saved by grace. And what needs to be glorified and manifest to people is God's grace. Because if His grace is not lifted up and magnified, then how are people going to know that salvation is for them? And so when we get offended at that grace that is extended, and face it, if you want to look here, what causes people to depart from here more than anything? They get offended at grace. Not unto themselves. I mean, we love grace unto ourselves, right? We expect it, we demand it, we want it, we call on it, we talk about, well, you know, I'm saved by grace and stuff like that. But extend it unto another? Or see the grace of God extended unto somebody and them going forward in that grace and we feeling like, well, we deserve, you know, these different things more than somebody else? Well, yeah, now we start seeing why people leave, people start getting offended, people, all of these different things. And so it goes on here in chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, do you think publicans and sinners are going to come near to hear him because he's preaching about, hey, man, if you just can be great like me, man, you're going to be awesome and stuff like that? Do you think they're going to be drawn by such a message? He goes on, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. See, those that would justify themselves, they murmur. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And now he turns and he's not telling a parable. And he says, a certain man had two sons. Now, first of all, those parables, each of us can, I've never kept sheep, but I know what it's like to be like the woman there lost a thing or anything like that. I mean, what do you do when you catch? You tell everybody. It's exactly what you do. You are so excited over that which you had lost, which you've gotten. Now, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So here he is. He's gone out into the world, thought he was going to find everything great, went and spent all his living, and he finds himself in a horrible spot. Horrible spot. Nobody cares. Even the swine eat better than him. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Those are the hirelings, the people who just work for his dad. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. So we see how here this one who comes back to his father. And face it, when we get into these different spots and we need grace, first of all, it's often hard to imagine we'll get it. It's hard to imagine we get it, especially when we see how badly we have done, how much it has hurt others, how much it has, basically how undeserving we are of any good thing. And when God in that place, just like this father, gives grace, and think of it, he gave him the best robe, killed the fatted calf, and everybody partook of this celebration. You can't help in that situation but love your dad, can you? Can't help but love your dad. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And this son was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Now, I'm trying to remember, and maybe one of you can find this for me. It's in one of the Gospels, but it says, the law came by Moses, but grace, and I'm trying to remember if it's mercy or peace, came by Jesus Christ. When we're in that place where we seek to justify ourselves, we're offended at the grace of God. We look at others and we see, what's that? John 1:17. Let me just read it so I get it accurately. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, one of the reasons why truth came by Jesus Christ is because, just like Charlie was up here saying how, you know, sometimes he thinks of himself and he thinks how great he is. And the rest of us, I don't know about you guys, but I was looking over there from my seat thinking, really? Really? But Charlie was telling the truth about how he feels sometimes, and I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I sometimes see myself that way as well, have been there. See, the law was like a mirage in that sense, as though we could do it and keep it and be righteous. But the reason why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross for us is because we couldn't. There's no way for us to justify ourselves. Absolutely no way. No way. And if there's no way to justify ourselves before God, why do we compare ourselves amongst ourselves as though we can justify ourselves over one another? See, and that's what we get offended at. We think that somebody's getting better than they deserve, and I'm not getting what I deserve. Isn't that what happened with the brother right here? He's pissed. He's angry. Here's the fatted calf he says he wants. The same one he says he wants, he won't even go and partake of. Why? Because he's offended that his brother is getting it and that this is done for his brother. See, when we stand in that place of self-justification, we constantly are in a place of offense. We think we don't get what we should get. We think others get better than they should get. We actually like it when bad things happen to people. They're getting what they deserve. And I know, I mean, it's funny. I mean, Davey and I are two very different guys. Two very different guys. You can get two guys who are too much different than he and I. And I thank God that the Lord, I mean, the Lord, that would have been a disaster for me to have been set up over Davey or something like that. It's a tremendous grace and mercy unto me that God set up Davey over me. Because I, by nature, am far more like this other brother. And one of the things that continuously happens and I see happen, and it's all about exalting the grace of God, is I watch as Davey continuously extends grace unto people in situations, just continuously extends grace into people. And I watch as people get, in a sense, you could say, better than they deserve, which is what grace does. And I say it from the perspective, because of course, the truth is, so do I. But I say it from the perspective of better than they deserve, because sometimes from where I'm sitting, don't hear me wrong, it seems like they're getting better than they deserve. But the part that it always provokes in me, which is a grace from God for which I'm extremely thankful, is rather than me getting angry about it, it actually doesn't cause me to get angry about it. I probably wonder and marvel at it sometimes and kind of ponder it in my heart at times, because it seems amazing to me. But I'm glad it provokes that reaction and not one of being angry. Because if it provoked the action of being angry, that would be very bad for me. But what it does is it continuously lifts up the grace by which we are all saved. And it is where we're all supposed to stand. I mean, if we're going to be ministers of the Lord, then we have to be ministers of His grace. We have to be ministers of His grace. And what's neat is, you know, you've heard, I know Davey talks sometimes, and he talks about how we can actually go back to that place where Adam was before the fall, where we can actually go back where there is no law. There's just the tree of life, which is Jesus and the gospel, and the tree of knowledge between good and evil, which is the law. And we can just go back to that place, and we can partake of that gospel. We can choose that tree of life, and we can stand in a place where the law and all of its rules, regulations, self, you know, all the different things are far from us. All the things that we stand in to try to justify ourselves and against other people and everything are far from us. And you know what? Then where can we see sin? Where do we see sin in one another? Because in order to see sin, you got to have some standard by which you're judging by, right? To find it. You actually can stand in that place where you can stand where you're free in your daddy's playground, if you will, to simply listen to and do what he would have you do. And you don't have to be concerned about the rest. And then, Charlie, not all hung up about your natural man and how bad and evil he is and everything like that, because that's not what you're about. That's not what you're about. Sure, your old man is base, and you know, you see old people, one of the things about old people, boy, I mean, the baseness of old people comes out because you just can't control it anymore. You just can't control it. I mean, I watch old people who, like old women who never farted a day in their life, that was something that at least with knowledge and everything like that, all of a sudden they start flipping out because just too daggone tired to try and care about it anymore. I mean, you see people, they just do things. I mean, the baseness is just right out there. And whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo. It does not matter. But that old man isn't who Christ died for anyways. See, what he wants you to do is he wants you to go forward in that new man. In order to go forward in that new man, you've got to not only receive him, you've got to then walk by faith in him, and you grow in him. And as you grow in him, you find yourself extending mercy and grace unto others. You find yourself doing it. And if you don't do that, and you find yourself offended at the people out here and the like in their desperate need for grace and mercy, well, I'll tell you what, you're looking a lot like these Pharisees and the like who, they never were too pleased with him, were they? But we can get to that place where really we just realize that old guy, he's gone. He's passing away. I want to go forward in that new life. And that new life is that one in which grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. And I want to stand in that. And I don't want to stand in that old guy of judgment and self-righteousness and all the other stuff. So you just leave him behind. It didn't matter anyways. And then the work of the Lord becomes a blessing as you see other people get free. Becomes a blessing. And you're not offended. But you're grateful for that opportunity to extend grace and mercy unto others. And then people can come to know Him. Amen.